fun and relaxing. My session today will be about web templates and what you can do with them, and well, basically everything about web templates, pretty much. My name is Mirjam van Olst. I work for Avanade in the Netherlands as a SharePoint architect. You can find me my blog on sharepointchick.com. You can also find me on Twitter, and there's my email address as well. I co-run the Dutch user group, and with that user group we publish a magazine, so if you want to go and download it at the website, the URL's on the slide. It's free, so go right ahead. And I'm an MVP and a Microsoft Certified Master. The agenda for today, we will start with the web template fundamentals, so the basics of web templates, everything you need to know about them to be able to build them and to know what not to do with them. Then we'll go into creating a web template. I'll show you how to. I'll also have a demo that shows how to. Then we go into using web templates, so how can you use them, what are the different options that you've got. And we'll go a little bit into web templates and app webs. And then a short wrap-up as well. So that will be it for today. We will start with the fundamentals. From SharePoint 2007 and before SharePoint 2007, if we wanted to create templated sites, custom templated sites, we would create custom site definitions. We had no other choice but to deploy them to the server, so they were all full trust solutions, all deployed to the SharePoint server. We would need an onet.xml file, which was deployed to the SharePoint root template site templates folder. And we would also need a webtemp.xml file, which would contain the metadata of that web template and basically of that site definition and basically register it in the environment. And that will be stored in the SharePoint root folder and then the template 1033, assuming you would be doing English, XML folder. Site definitions cannot be changed after sites have been created based on them. So that's quite a big limitation. If you do a V1 of a site for a customer and you create a couple of sites and then the customer figures out, I want some changes made to that template. No, and no customer does that, right? Everyone knows right from the beginning whatever they want in their project and on their sites. And so you would have to create a new site definition, hide the old one, and then start using the new one for any new sites. So it's not very flexible. And we would also have site templates, which we could create by going into Save Site as Template in the user interface of a site. And then that would create .stp files. From SharePoint 2007 onwards, we could create web templates. A web template is deployed to the SharePoint server or to the Solutions Gallery, depending on how you're creating the template. Web templates can be changed after sites have been created based on the template. So it's a lot more flexible. You're not stuck to that one template, and you can modify it after sites have been created. We still have site templates. We can still use the Save Site as Template link in the user interface. But now, it no longer creates .stp files, it creates WSP files for us, which means that that as well is a lot more flexible. And it uses the web template improvement. So the only reason why Save Site as Template can now create WSP files is because of the improvements that were made in the SharePoint object model that allow us to create web templates. So a couple of the basics. Web templates are made possible by the web template feature element. And basically, that web template feature element can hold all the metadata of the web template, so it sort of replaces the old webtemp.xml file. A web template can be in a site or a farm scoped feature. You can't have a web scoped feature, and you can't have a web application scoped feature. If it's a feature with the web template in it is site scoped, this web template will only be available in sites where the feature is activated. If it's farm scoped, then that web template will be available throughout the entire farm. So you can create site collections based on them from central administration. This is what it looks like if you create a web template in Visual Studio. You only have the onet.xml file and an elements.xml file, and you no longer have the webtemp.xml file. That webtemp.xml file required that you would deploy it to the SharePoint server to that XML directory in the SharePoint root. So we can create web templates in two ways. We can either save a site as a template on the site settings page. What that creates, we used to call site templates, but right now if you look in the documentation on MSDN and TechNet, it also calls that web templates. And you can use Visual Studio to create a web template, in which case you're a lot more flexible and you can determine yourself what you want on there. Both types create a WSP file, and when a user creates a new site, it looks exactly the same to them. It doesn't matter whether that you use a site definition, a web template, whether you save the site as a template. An end user will not be able to tell the difference when he's creating a new site. So it's only for you, for manageability, maintainability, and for future upgradability as well. So using Save Site as Template creates a sandbox solution. That sandbox solution is stored in the site collection solution gallery. So it's stored in the solution gallery of that particular site collection where you're saving the site as a template. If you want to use the template that was created in another site, you can simply download it onto your computer and then upload it again in the solution gallery of a different site collection. You can also import it into Visual Studio. I'll actually show in the demo what it looks like once it's imported. I won't import it live because then we can spend the entire session doing that. You will see that it still creates quite a lot of files. It looks a lot neater than it did in the beginning, but if you want to modify it, it's quite complex. There's a reason for that, because if we save a site as a template, Microsoft has to make sure that all the content that could possibly be available in the site collection is in that template as well. So all the content types that you're not using will be in the template. All the fields, all the property back properties, everything will be in that template, just in case you were using it in your site. They aren't checking the entire site to see what you were using and what type of lists you had, what type of content types you were actually using in your site. So everything will be in there, which means that it's a lot. And when you import it, you can select what you want and what you don't want, but that's a long list as well. So it's very difficult to determine what bits to leave out. So you can do it. You can use that solution once it's imported into Visual Studio to modify it, but there will be small modifications. If you want a lot of flexibility, you would be creating your own web template and not using Save Site as Template. If we look at web templates, a web template is based on a site definition, and there's a reason there's quotes around that, because it's not really based on a site definition, but it needs a base site definition in order to function. And basically what it means is that for SharePoint, what it sort of looks like is that you created the site based on that site definition, and then you started modifying it until it looked like what your web template looks like. So it's advised, if you choose a definition to base your web template on, choose a site definition that is sort of similar to the site that you want to create in your web template. So the web template doesn't actually inherit anything from their base site definition. You still need to note it down, though. And the only thing that SharePoint will know about after the site has been created is that base site definition that was listed for your web template. So the environment doesn't know anything about the web template that was used to create the site. So you can change or delete your web template after you've used it to create sites. This is what I just said. So a site created using a web template will only know about their base site definition. And you can request that information by using the spweb.webtemplate and the spweb.webtemplate ID properties. So it's funny, it calls it web template, but this is actually the site definition and not the web template, that information that's in there. So STS is the out-of-the-box Steam site, and the one is the ID of the out-of-the-box Steam site. If we look at publishing features, if we use web templates that are created in Visual Studio, they can be based on publishing sites, and we can use the publishing features on them. However, if we are saving sites as templates, they cannot have the publishing feature activated on them. The link will be hidden from the user interface if you activate the publishing features. Now, I know that a lot of you will actually know the URL where you have to browse to in order to still save the site as a template, but it's not supported. And in a lot of cases, it really breaks. So don't do that. Also, don't create your site using a publishing feature, deactivate it, save your site as a template, and then reactivate the publishing feature. It's not supported. So if you want to use publishing features, you have to create your web template in Visual Studio, and otherwise you have to make do without. Web templates have a couple of limitations, which could also be in quotes, because it's not really limitations. One thing that you can't use in a web template is the module element that was always present in a site definition. That module element was usually used to provision the pages that would be available on your site definition, like the home page, and also to put a couple of web parts on that page, maybe some lists. We could just use features to do that. So if we create a feature that provisions pages for us and that also puts web parts on the page, then we get the same functionality and we're no worse off. So we just have to use a different approach. There's also a couple of components that are no longer available. The file dialog post processor, you can read what that's about, and the external security provider. Who has ever used any of those components in a custom site definition? Yeah, me neither. So it's not a real limitation. No one used them. There's also the server email footer. That's actually present by default in most site definitions. It's not a big loss that we can't use that either. We can't use feature stapling. And at first sight, it kind of seems like a big limitation because, you know, we use feature stapling quite a lot with site definitions. It means that we can add those features without modifying the site definition. We don't have to make any changes to the actual site definition. But the main reason for us to use feature stapling is because we can't modify the site definition after sites have been created based on them, or to actually add features to the out-of-the-box site definitions. In this case, we don't need that. We can simply modify the web template and add more features to it after, you know, whenever we want, basically, even after sites have been created based on it. So we don't really need feature stapling if we are using web templates. So it's a little bit of a limitation, but not really. And then there's one other one, which is a true limitation. You can't use a variations hierarchy with web templates. If you are using variations, you have to use site definitions. There's no other solution for that at the moment. So that's the only real limitation. If we are using web templates and we are using features to add functionality to it, it's important to understand in what order a site is provisioned when you use a web template to create a site. It starts with creating the URL for the site. And people that have been around for quite a long time and that have been creating custom site definitions for quite a long time might remember that in previous versions, if we would create a custom site definition, then we would make a mistake, and it would fail halfway through site creation, then you could no longer create a site using the same URL because the URL was already reserved in the database. So the URL is the first thing that we will reserve. We will create a URL for the site. That's the first step. With web templates and in the newer versions, if your site creation fails, in most cases, the URL is not reserved, so it's simply removed again from the database. So there's a better rollback mechanism in it. You don't have to go about and remove that URL for a site that was never really created. The next step is that the global onet.xml content will be provisioned on the site. There is a global onet.xml file, which is not stored in the site templates folder, and all site definitions use the content from that global onet.xml file to provision the basis of their site. So there's a couple of basic lists on there, a couple of libraries in there, just some basic stuff. That's the first stuff that will be added when you're creating a site based on a web template as well. There is one exception to that rule. If you are using the blank site definition, the out-of-the-box blank site definition, content from that global onet.xml is not added onto your site because then it would no longer be a blank site. So there's actually some magic in the blank site definition to make sure that the stuff from the onet.xml is not added to it. The third step is depending on whether you are creating a new site collection or a new subsite. If we are creating a site collection, the site collection scoped features will be activated in the order in which they are defined in the onet.xml file that we created. If we are creating a subsite, SharePoint will verify that all the site collection scoped features are activated on the site collection. If they are not, site creation will fail. And this is a change from SharePoint 2007. In SharePoint 2007, the site collection scoped features would be activated if you would create a subsite. This is something that is really important if you are creating your own custom web templates. Because if you are creating site collection scoped features, and it's custom features, and someone creates a site collection based on the out-of-the-box team site template, your custom feature will not be activated on that site collection, so users will never be able to create subsites based on your web template unless someone goes in and activates that site collection scoped features. So in a lot of cases, what we'll see is that it's better to not create site collection scoped features, but create web collection scoped, or sorry, web scoped features that will then activate the site collection scoped features for you when you create a site. Obviously, you have to be a little bit careful with that. If you have site collections where you don't want that those features activated, then this will force those features on them. But still, it's a better way than having site creation fail in a lot of cases. The fourth step is that the site scope, so the web scoped features from the onet.xml, will be activated in the order in which they are listed in the onet.xml file. And then the last step is that the list instances that are defined in the onet.xml are activated. Once that has been done, the features that are all those features will be activated. You will have all your list instances. You will have your pages. But if you are modifying, for instance, a list, you create a feature that will modify a list that is in the onet.xml. That list instance will only be created after the feature was activated on it. So there is no list to modify in your feature. So if you want to do that, you have to create the list in your feature as well and not define it in your onet.xml. So it's important to keep this order in mind and to realize in what order you have to do steps, how you have to set your site definitions up. Your web templates up. So then we can go and look at creating actual web templates. This is what the web template element looks like. So if I'm creating a new web template in Visual Studio, this is what I have to put in there. You can see the web template element in there with a base configuration ID of 0, a base template ID of 1, and a base template name STS. This means the out-of-the-box template. So my base site definition is the out-of-the-box team site template. I put a description in. This is what users will see when they are creating a new site based on your web template. So make sure that it's something that is actually useful to them. There's a display category, which is the category from which they can actually pick the template. And we have a name, Contoso Web. That name is important. We have to remember that name for a second because we will come back to that. And there's a title, and that title is, again, what the users will see when they are creating a new site based on it. There's a couple of required properties, which are mainly the templates and the configuration ID that we have to list in there. And you can see in the piece of XML at the bottom of the slide, that's actually a piece of XML from the old webtemp.xml file. So this is the out-of-the-box team site webtemp.xml file. And you can see there the template name is STS, the ID is 0, and the configuration ID of the team site is 0. So this is what I'm basing my site on. I could also have chosen blank site or any other out-of-the-box site definition to base my web template on. If we look at the web templates onet.xml, the easiest way to create your onet.xml for your web template is to start with a copy of the onet.xml from an out-of-the-box site definition and then strip everything from it that's not supported in a web template or that you don't want in it. So take out all the modules, take out all the configurations but one, and make sure that you take out all the list instances and the document library instances that you don't want in there. Be careful if you take out navigations. If you remove all the navbar elements, then you won't be able to change the navigation in your site. And the only way to fix that is to throw away the site and to start over again. So be careful with that. Don't strip too much from that onet.xml file. The onet.xml file of a web template can only contain one configuration, whereas in the site definitions, usually there's many. There several different configurations in a single onet.xml file. With web templates, we simply have to create new web templates, new onet.xml files for every configuration that we need. The configuration ID has to be 0. We can't use our own value for that. It has to be 0. A couple of best practices for web templates. Make sure that you use enough features. If you use too many features, it will make site creation a lot slower. It will slow down site creation a lot. I've seen one project where every custom site column was stored in a separate feature, So it was like 64 features that had to be activated when a site was created. So it took about 10 minutes to create a single site. That's not acceptable to a user. So keep that in mind. Also, make sure that you create enough features. Don't create one feature and put everything in it. If you then want to upgrade that feature, if you want to add functionality to it, you might be having problems doing that because that will influence all the other stuff that you have on your site. So don't create too many features, but also don't create too few features. Just make sure, use common sense. You can have all your site columns in a single feature. You have your content types in a single feature. You might even be able to combine those two. Put your web parts in one feature. Just stuff like that. And again, be careful because site scoped features, the site collection scoped features, can block sub-site creation. Another best practice is to store the web template information. Because if you're creating your site based on a web template, your site has no knowledge at all about what template was used to create the site. That means that if you might want to change something to existing sites later, there's no way to identify what sites you have to change. So make sure that you store the information about the web template that was used to create the site. Make sure that you can identify your site afterwards. You can do that by creating a hidden web scoped feature. You can add it to the web feature section of the onet.xml file. I would make that the last feature because then you know for sure that everything has worked. Everything, you know, was actually on the site. All your features were provisioned. And then you can do that as a last step. You can add the information about the web template that you used. You can store the web template name, the feature ID that the web template was deployed in, and a version of your web template in, for instance, the site property bag. You can also choose another location to store it. You can create an XML file in a document library. It doesn't matter as long as you make sure that that information will be contained within the site so that you can identify should you need to at a later point. If we look at using web templates, we will first start with deployment. There's two ways in which we can deploy our web templates. We can create a farm solution. And if we can create a farm solution, we can choose whether we want the web template feature to either be farm or site scoped. The onet.xml file will be stored in the feature folder together with the elements.xml file of that feature. So the files will be stored on a file system, but you will never see web template files in the site templates folder that site definitions are stored in. So different approach. All the files will be stored in the feature folder if you are using a farm solution, regardless of whether you use a farm or a site scoped feature. We can also use sandbox solutions to deploy web templates. If we use sandbox solutions, those are scoped to the site collection. So obviously we can't create a farm scoped feature in our sandbox solution. We can only use the site scoped feature. The onet.xml file and the elements.xml file are all deployed in the content database because our sandbox solution is deployed in the solution gallery of the site collection. It won't touch the file system, so you won't find anything in your feature folder on your file system. It will only be stored in the content database. So it's important to keep that in mind, important mostly if you want to verify whether your deployment was successful. For a farm solution, you can do that by browsing into the feature folder. For a sandbox solution, it's a lot more difficult. You can only check whether the solution is available in the solution gallery. If we are using web templates in sandbox solutions, we can also deploy our web templates, our sandbox solutions, with the web templates in it to Office 365. So this is the way for us to create templated sites in an Office 365 or any other hosted environment for that matter. So this is really useful for us. And we can do quite a lot with web templates in a sandbox solution. There's not a lot of the web template itself that you won't be able to do in a sandbox solution. In 2013, sandbox solutions are officially deprecated, but they are still around. We can still use them. We can create existing or deploy existing sandbox solutions, but we can also deploy new sandbox solutions. What you will have to keep in mind is that if you are using a sandbox solution to create your web template, just to be sure, make sure that you can remove your sandbox solution after the site has been created. So just make sure that you don't depend on that sandbox solution after your site has been created. Make sure that your site doesn't break should you remove that sandbox solution from the environment. Just in case it won't be there anymore in the next version of SharePoint, you will still want your sites to be fully functional. You don't want your sites to stop working. And it's not a problem. Just think about your design a little bit. There's no relation to the web template itself after the site has been created, so you can safely remove that. Make sure you don't put any other functionality in there that will cause the site to break if you remove that solution. We can use web templates after we've created them also by using code. So like we can with site definitions, we can call them from code. We can create sites based on them from an automated process, maybe from a custom page, maybe from a trigger in another application. We can do that with web templates as well. What we would do is apply the web template with the web template feature GUID with brackets. Without them, it doesn't work. I've made that mistake about 20 times. And then the web template name. So here, this is the second time we look at that web template name, which is defined in the web template element of our feature, and that will come back again. And here's just a small code snippet, an example of how you could use it, but there are other ways as well. You can also use it from PowerShell, for instance. If you are creating your site from a PowerShell script, then you can also use the web template in the same way. So use the web template feature GUID and use the web template name as well. So we'll go into a bit of a demo. Yep. And we'll start by looking at the out-of-the-box folder. And what we see here is this is our SharePoint root folder in my environment. We go into the template folder, site templates. So this is where my out-of-the-box site definitions are stored. You can see the STS folder in here. It has two pages and an onet.xml file. And if I open the onet.xml file, you can see all the configurations in here. It's a lot of stuff. And you can see this is configuration 0 with a list in there, one module, the default module, a couple of features, site features, web features. And there you can see different configurations. In this case, it's the blank configuration. If I go back up to my root folder, I go into my template folder, 1033, the XML folder. In here, you can see all the web template temp files stored. So these are the web temp files of all the out-of-the-box site definitions. There's less web template temp files than there are site definitions on the environment because several sites are combined in a single web temp file. For instance, if I open up the default web temp file, let's stop here, you can see that in here you see a link to the global as well, but you can see, for instance, that this web temp file contains the team site, the blank site, a document workspace site, meeting workspaces, lots of stuff. So that means we don't need as many web temp files as we do need site definitions and onet files. Just go back up here. What I'll do first is I'll start by creating a new solution, and I'll start a new project in Visual Studio, and what I'll be doing is create a sandbox solution with a web template in it. It will be a very simple one because you don't want to see me type for an hour. So give it a name. Create a cloud site here because we can deploy this to the cloud should we want to. We will make it a sandbox solution, and we will deploy it to our dedicated sandbox site. See if I fill it in the correct URL. Yeah. Okay, so what we'll do first is create an empty element. It has to be an empty element. It can't be a module. You can't deploy the module in your sandbox solution. So I'm creating an empty element, and the name that I give this empty element has to be the same name as the name of my web template. So don't choose something really fancy in here, or choose something really fancy as the name of your web template. You have to be able to type it, and it has to match. So I'm just calling this cloud site. And it will add an elements.xml file in here for me, which is still empty right now. Make it a bit bigger. Doesn't necessarily make for easier reading, but move this aside. So I can now add my web template information with the new web template element that we have in here. There's a lot of properties that I can use on here, but most of them I don't need. So I will just use the ones that I really need in order for my web template to work. The base configuration ID will be 0, so I will be basing this on the standard team site again. I need a base template ID, that will be 1. I need a base template name, that will be STS. What else do we need? We need a description, a cloudy site, template. We need a name, which is cloud site. I can't use that anymore because I already named the empty element. It has to be the same. We need a display category. Makes it easier to find it, so we'll call it SPC. And we need a title, which is what the users will see when they are creating a site based on it. So we will just call that cloudy site. Okay, so that's it. That's all the information that I absolutely have to add into my web template element, into my elements file. So the next thing that I need is an onet.xml file. And what I'll do is I'll copy that from the out-of-the-box team site as well. Go back into the STS folder and copy this onet file. Copy it into Visual Studio, into my empty element. Right here, and now I have to strip this file from everything that's not supported. I will strip a bit more just to make it a bit easier to read. So I'll take all the document template information. I need one configuration, but I'll remove the minus one. Keep the zero configuration, but remove the modules from it because that's not supported. Just for this example, I will leave all the features in it. Remove the other configurations from the onet file, right there. Then I'll remove all the modules, because no modules are supported at all. And I'll remove the server email footer. When I pasted this onet.xml file in, it was set to deployment type no deployment. That's not going to work, so I'll change that to element file. And this is the elements.xml is automatically set to an elements manifest. See if I did everything. Oh, yeah. So we have one feature in here. I will rename the feature. So this is my cloud site feature. And then I'll open up the feature. By default, it's web scoped. That doesn't work for us, so I'll change that to site scoped. I can't change it to anything else because then I can't deploy it in my sandbox solution anymore. You can see that the cloud site empty element with my elements.xml and my onet.xml was automatically added to it. So this is my web template in there, cloud site web template. And then I can deploy this solution. Fingers crossed, please. It's adding the solution. And it should add it to my dedicated sandbox site. Obviously, all my sites have gone to sleep by now. Ah, success. That's good. So this is the site where I deployed it to. And if we go into the site settings and into the solution gallery, you will now see the spc.cloudsite solution in here. And if we go into the site contents page and we create a new subsite, in here, you will see the SPC category, and you can see our cloudy site. So this is now available for us to create a site on. So we will just create a test site. Test. Select that template. I won't change any of the other properties because it doesn't matter for this example. Obviously, this will be very basic. I didn't add any custom features to it. I didn't even add any specific homepage to it. It's just an example of how you could create your template, and it's to prove that you can actually deploy your web template in a sandbox solution. So the site was created, success. If I go into central administration and I go to create site collections, I won't see my cloudy site in there because it's a sandbox solution that, you know, it's not available in central administration to create sites. So if I go in here and click on the SPC category, I don't have my cloudy site. I only have two other sites that were deployed in full trust solutions. However, if I wanted to create a new site collection based on my cloudy site, I could still do that. I could create a new site collection from central administration and select a on the custom tab, select template later. That will create an empty site for me. It won't apply any template yet. It won't provision the complete site. And if I would browse to that site after the site has been created, it would ask me to select a template right then. I can then go into the solution gallery, upload my sandbox solution that I just created, and then activate that, and then go back to the template selection site, template selection page, and then select the template for it. So you can use sandbox solutions to create site collections based on it. It's just a bit more work. You have to do a bit more steps in order for the, to get that to work. But it's still possible. You will also see that in this other site, which is called Full Trust, I won't be able to create a subsite based on our cloudy site either. Because the sandbox solution hasn't been deployed to this site. It has only been deployed to my sandbox site. So again, I have the SPC tab in here, but no cloudy site. So just the knowledge base site and the fancy site that were deployed in full trust solutions. So that's what a sandbox solution would look like. If I go into this other Visual Studio solution, we have a fancy site in here. My fancy site is a full trust solution. Which also has a web template in it, right here, fancy site, same sort of structure with an elements file and an onet.xml file, but I have a couple of custom features in my onet.xml file. So what you can see, I have a fancy site homepage, a fancy site, and sure web parts, which is a feature with a, which is web scoped to activate the web parts feature, which is site scoped. And I have a fancy site stamp, which is there to add the information about the web template to my site. The elements.xml file looks almost the same as the one that we just created for the cloudy site. I use the same team site as the base. The name is fancy site. There's a title in there. I didn't even add a description. And the display category is SPC. So that's deployed in a the fancy site feature, and the fancy site feature is farm scoped right now. Again, it has one item in there, which is the fancy site template, and I have a couple of other features in here as well. I have my fancy site stamp, which is web scoped, and that has the fancy site stamp element in there. If I go into the fancy site stamp element, it's just an elements file, and you can see that I add some information in here. This is hard-coded. You could also do this in an event receiver and try and do, you know, be a bit more flexible and request that information on the fly when you're creating your site. But I'm adding three properties. I'm adding SPC.webtemplate, SPC.webtemplate version, and SPC.webtemplate feature. The first one is the fancy site. That's the name. The version is 1.0.0.0, and the value of the web template feature is the value of the feature ID of my fancy site. So if I go back to my fancy site feature and I open the manifest file, I hope you'll remember the entire GUID. But that's the same GUID that I put in the elements file for the site stamp information. So that information will be added into the property back of my site when that feature is activated as the last feature when the site is created. We also have a home page. We want something, you know, to actually put stuff on. There's a default.aspx file that doesn't have anything exciting in it. And there's one elements file. And my elements file puts a web part on the home page for me. There's a little bit of information in there. There's a little bit of information about the navigation bar in it. In this elements file, I determined that the name of the home page is fancyhome.aspx. So even though the file in my solution is called default.hbx, so I can give it a different name when I deploy it. And there's information in here to add the web parts to the home page. I won't bore you with all of this stuff. You can get this information by adding your web template to an existing site using Safe Site as template and then getting the export from it. That's the easiest way to get the right XML for it. So if I go to my fancy site homepage feature, you can see that it adds the fancy site homepage. It's also web scoped, so all my features are web scoped, so I can deploy them anywhere and still create them as subsites. And I have an event receiver that will make sure that my new page, my fancy home, is actually the homepage of the site. So I'm just changing the homepage there. If I would be doing this right, I would set the out-of-the-box homepage back when in the deactivation of the feature. I didn't do that in here. And I also have a web part, which displays my web template info. The element.xml file mainly contains the metadata and the display category, or the group in this case. So where can I find my web part if I want to edit from the UI? And it's a URL for the web template library. The ASCX file only contains a label because I'm only displaying some information on the site. You would normally never put this information on the homepage of your site. This is just for demonstration purposes. It is, however, convenient to have some way of getting to that information for an existing site from the UI. So you could create maybe an application page that displays that information for you. And then there's a little bit of code that reads the information from the property. So it's all basic and simple stuff. There's no exciting code in here. Sorry. So just reading through the property back, iterating through the properties, and only displaying the properties that start with SPC, so you don't get all the out-of-the-box properties on the in your web part. And then we can see here there's a web parts feature that has the web template info web part in it. A web template cannot be deployed in a web scoped feature, so we have to use a site scoped feature for that. But I don't add the web parts feature to my onet.xml. I only add my ensure web parts feature to the onet.xml. The ensure web parts feature doesn't actually deploy any items. It only makes sure in the event receiver that the web parts site scoped feature is activated when I create my site, so that I won't get an error on that and my site will always be created. So that's the functionality that that we have in here. And what we can see, we already saw that. If we go into create site collection in central administration on the SPC tab, we see the fancy site in here. If we go into the full trust site and I want to create a new subsite, you can see on the SPC tab that fancy site is in there as well. If I go into the test sites that we just created based on the sandbox solution and I want to create a new subsite in there, the template is available there as well, so there's fancy site as well. So because I deploy my web template as a farm solution, it is available throughout the environment. From anywhere in my environment, I can create sites based on it. That could also be a downside. If you have multiple customers on a single environment or multiple departments and not all of them are allowed to use the same templates, then you will have to use the site scoped feature and make sure that you only activate it on the sites where people are allowed to use that feature. So what we will do is create a new site collection. That will take a while, but we will look at other stuff in the meantime. So I'm selecting my team site web application. Oh, by the way, you might have heard a couple of times this week that you shouldn't use host header web applications. You should use host named site collections. But they don't have a user interface. You have to create them from PowerShell. So doing a demo like this and then trying to create sites from PowerShell to show you that the template is not present is not really a very nice way to do it. So that's why I'm still using host header web applications. So I'm creating a fancy test site with the URL. I will select the fancy site template. I need to give a site collection administrator in here. I'm a dev, so I'm using the administrator account to do this. It's allowed while you're developing, right? It's just when you're testing that you need a different account that has less permissions. But we haven't got to that stage yet, so I will just use the administrator account in here. In the meantime, what we will look at is an imported web template. So from just a normal team site at the root of my web application, I saved the site as a template. I didn't add anything to it. I didn't add any content to it. I saved it without the content in it. So there's nothing special in this site. It's just the out-of-the-box team site, basically. And I imported that WSP that that created into a new Visual Studio project. This is what you get then. I called the project SPC.template. I have features in there, a package, a couple of built-in list instances, content types, fields, modules, other elements. That leaves a lot to your imagination. Property bags, and I have the web template itself, of course. So if I open some of this stuff up, for instance, the content types, I hope you can see it on the screen. You might not be able to read all of them, but at least you can see that this is all the content types in this web template. It's a lot of content types. So it needs to add all of this because SharePoint, when it saves your site as a template, has no clue what you used in your site. So it needs to make sure that all of that stuff is available in case you were using it, because otherwise you will break the template after you've created it. So we have content types in there. We have several list instances that were present in my site. Modules. So it's a lot of stuff. So you can imagine if you're trying to make changes to this, if you want to add or remove stuff from it, it can get quite complex. I've tried to strip it down once to just leave over the stuff that I really needed, and it broke the template. So it's probably possible, but you need a lot of patience for it and probably a couple of tries. So it's not a really easy thing to do. So if you want a complex site, if you want to make changes to your site, you're usually better off using Visual Studio to create your web template, even though it probably means that you need a developer to do that, which for most of you in the room won't really be a problem. Okay, so see, we created our site, the fancy site. Open it up so we can see what's on it. So it should pretty much look like a standard site with a custom homepage with the information about the web template on it. So we can see in here, it's not a really pretty web art, but we have SPC.webtemplate feature property with the GUID of our web template feature ID. We have the web template version in there and the name of the web template itself. So this will allow me, if I want to identify these sites later on, to find it in between all the other sites. If I make changes to my web template, I will make sure that the version number goes one up, so that I know what changes I have to make, maybe to make all old sites the same as the new sites that I create. It can all be a bit tricky, but creating storing the information is all very easy, very basic, and it will help you a lot in the future if you need to make changes to it. Okay. Switch back to the slides. We'll have a little look at web templates and app webs. We'll start with the mindset. You've probably all heard a lot about apps this week. I'll still start with a little bit of the mindset because it's really important for web templates. Because apps for SharePoint are a bit like apps for phones. They are user-driven and they have to be self-contained. So it means that you can't link to other apps from your app. You can't use other apps in your app. You can't create an app that needs other apps in order for it to function. That means that creating a web template or using it in a web template, that's not possible. You can't create a web template in an app, and you can't create a templated site from an app. So when we are talking about web templates to create user-navigated sites based on, we can't do that. We can't use apps to create web templates. However, we could deploy a web template in an app, but not to create other sites. We can use it to create the app web with. So the site that is created to deploy the app to, that can be created on a custom web template should you want to. If we look at an app web, this is a user who is he's a bit fat. And he has the wrong color jacket on. He's browsing to a site. This site is the host web. And you can see the URL at the bottom of the slide, teamsite.wingtip.com, that's the domain, /sites/app test. That's the site that the user browses to. If this user happens to be a site collection administrator and he adds an app to that site, a new subsite is created within that site. So in my host web, a subsite is created. That subsite is called the app web, and that will host my app. The domain for that app, I'm not going to read out the GUID, is app dash, and it's an app GUID, dot wingtipapps.com. So the domain is different. The domain of your app, the domain of your app web, which is a subsite of your host web, is different from the domain of your host web. So that's sort of, you know, it's weird and difficult to grasp, but it still works like that. So you have a subsite in a normal site which has a different domain than that site that you're browsing to, that your user is browsing to. This user will not browse to my app web. He will browse to the host web, and you will add functionality from the app web, or that's deployed in the app web, to the host web. So for instance, in the screenshot, you can see that there's a weather app that's deployed. So the weather information is displayed on the homepage of the host web. The user doesn't browse to the app web. So even though that, you know, that functionality is available in the app web, the user won't see that. Not from the app web, anyway. If we are creating an app web, we have two choices. We can either create the app web using the out-of-the-box site definition app-0. That's the default. We can't use any other out-of-the-box site definition to create our app web on. There's some magic in the app web template that's not in the other site definitions, so if we are using any of the other site definitions, it will break. It's not supported, but it also doesn't work. Or we can create the app web using a custom web template. Keep in mind, though, that the user doesn't browse to the app web. The user browses to the host web. And we are creating a custom template to create our app web on. So I don't really see the need, but you can do it. You have to be careful, though, because you need to make sure that you include all the magic that's in the out-of-the-box app web site definition in your custom template as well. Make sure you don't miss anything, or you won't be able to properly deploy your apps. So the custom app web template is deployed in the app itself in a web scoped feature. So only in this case can we use a web scoped feature to deploy a web template. That also means that whereas previously in SharePoint 2010, if we created a web scoped feature and we put a web template in it, the deployment of your solution would fail. It wouldn't work because it would just tell you you can't deploy a web template in a web scoped feature. That error message is no longer there because you actually can. So you have to make sure that you change your scope of your feature, of your web template feature to site if you are creating a normal web template. You still use, if you're creating a web template for your app web, the onet.xml and an elements.xml file. That's the same. And you have to define your web template, the one that you want to use to create your app, in the app-manifest.xml file. That appmanifest.xml file also has a web template element, but it's not the same element as the web template element in the features. So this is just there to define the web template that you want to use to create the site. So what you will do is you use the web template element and specify an ID, which again will be the GUID of the app web template feature, and then the web template name attribute. There's also, if you use Visual Studio to modify your app manifest, there's a feature ID property, but that's obsolete. When I first started, I was like, what's the difference? There is no difference. You don't use the feature ID property. And again, you cannot use any of the other out-of-the-box site definitions. If you don't do anything, the app-0 definition will be used. You don't have to specify that, and you don't have to use that web template element at all. It also doesn't show up in the user interface of the appmanifest.xml in Visual Studio, so you have to go into the XML for that. This is what it looks like. So this is just an example of appmanifest.xml XML. You can see some information about the app. We have a Hello You app with an ID, a version, and the minimal SharePoint version. And then we have some custom properties. We have a title, a start page, and there is our web template, which is defined with the ID of the feature and then the name of the web template. So that's how you could define it. So don't get confused by that web template element in the appmanifest.xml file. It doesn't mean that you can create a web template in your app. It only means that you can use that to specify the web template that you want to use to create the app web on. So, going to the wrap-up. What we saw today is that we can and we should use web templates to create templated sites. You should not use custom site definitions anymore. They will hinder you in upgrades. You have to make sure that the site definition is available in the newer version as well. If you ever want to go into a hosted environment, you won't be able to using site definitions. So you have to go into some custom upgrade methods to make sure that you get all the content from the old content database, put it into a new one where you no longer use the custom site definitions. So that's all a big pain. If you use web templates, SharePoint has no clue that you use the web template to create your site based on, so you only need the out-of-the-box site definitions, which Microsoft will make sure are actually there. So that will help you. It will make stuff easier. It will make you more flexible because you can change your web template after you've created sites based on it. And you can pretty much do everything that you want in a web template that you could also do in a site definition. Again, the only reason why you would use a custom site definition is if you were using variations. You can't create templated sites in apps, so you would either have to use full trust solutions or sandbox solutions. You can still use sandbox solutions, though they are officially deprecated. Just make sure that you can remove the sandbox solution with the web template, and it will keep your site functioning. So make sure you don't put anything in there that will break your site if you remove the solution. So build with deprecation of sandbox solutions in mind. It shouldn't take a whole lot of effort. It should be very simple. Just make sure that you test it so that you're 100% sure that it will actually work. And then plan your amount of features and plan the scope of your features properly. Don't create too many features. It will slow things down. Don't create too few features because it will mean that it's very difficult to upgrade any existing features in your sites. And don't use too many site-scoped features because that will hinder your sub-site creation. It will especially surprise users if you have an existing web template and in V2 you add site-scoped features to it and all of a sudden, after your deployment, they can no longer create sub-sites with it. Very surprising, not a good story, I can tell you from experience. So that was basically it. If there are any questions, please step up to the microphones in the hallways. And otherwise, I would like to thank you very much for sticking with me till the end.
Hello, over here, to your left. Obviously, publishing is not supported, but can you still have a feature that turns on the publishing? We typically have a fairly rich layout for, say, project sites, and we're trying to use a project site content type and have layouts based on that and then surface that up through search. Is that still possible?
If you're using web templates and you're creating them from Visual Studio, the publishing features are supported. So that's the easiest way.
Okay.
Just saving a site as a template with publishing stuff in it, so using the UI, that is really not supported.
Okay.
And it will actually create all sorts of problems as well. It wouldn't in 2007, but it's getting more and more difficult to get it to work and to keep it getting to work.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have a scenario that we would like to use the save as template and going forward, going to the V2, make changes from the original site and save as template again. Do you see that as a problem?
No, not at all. As long as you're not using the publishing features, that's a perfectly fine solution.
So we do have a lot of custom features on the site itself. And the experience so far we had is once you generate the second time, all the feature IDs get changed. Would that?
I would call that a bug.
A bug.
Yeah. Okay. And if you're just saving your site as a template and you don't do anything else with it, the ID should stay the same. It shouldn't change. As long as your solutions are there, if you use Save Site as template and you move your template to another environment where your customizations aren't deployed, then of course, yes, that will break. But as long as you're just saving as a template and you're using it in the same environment, it should work. And if that changes IDs, then I would...
mostly concerned about the site columns and content types. So these are deployed as custom features at, beforehand. And when extracting it, so it actually creates all new content types, which we, and the second time would actually, the second time it creates, it generates a whole new sets of IDs for those things. So I was wondering if
it probably does that if you upload that new web template into the same site collection.
Right.
It will try to recreate the existing content types, but there's already content types with the same names in there. So
right.
We'll try to find a solution for it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really see a solution for that, sorry.
All right, thank you.
Except for using, if you're using a web template from Visual Studio, then you can make sure that they are removed and then added again, or that they aren't removed at all. So, but otherwise, you would indeed be adding them twice or creating new site collections all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it possible to call the apply web template method twice? Assume you've applied it for version 1 and then you have changed it to version 1.2. So you you have you need a custom way to upgrade the version 1 sites that are out there to the...
No, you have to create a custom solution to upgrade from version 1 to version 2.
Okay, and you briefly said that the site definitions that are already used, in what way can we sort of transfer them to point to a web template instead of the site definition?
A custom site definition, you mean?
Yeah, if you have created a custom site definition and we have 1,000 sites and you want to retract the site definition and use the web template instead.
Basically, you have to do a content migration. So you have to extract all the content from those sites and put it into new sites that are created based on the web templates. So you would either be looking at a custom tool or a third-party tool like AvePoint or Metalogix or something like that. So they can help you to get the content out and then into the new sites, but there is no other way to get rid of the site collection, the site definitions.
Okay, so where is the property stored? Which site template is used? It's stored somewhere in the database?
It's in the content database.
Okay.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go ahead and modify the content database to change the site definition. There's actually differences between the out-of-the-box site definitions and your own site definition, which I'm assuming there is, because otherwise you wouldn't have created them. Your site can completely fall apart if you change that, even if you just remove the site definition from the environment. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that pretty much answered the question that I had, too.
Yeah, it's the main reason why the strong advice is not to use custom site definitions anymore. And I know we didn't have a choice before.
Right.
But, yeah, going forward, it's... Yeah. Yeah, so for instance, an example that I ran into at a customer is if you do an upgrade and you want to move your content database from the old to the new environment, you need to have your site definitions in the new environment. If your new environment is a cloud-hosted environment, whether it's Office 365 or something else, you are not allowed to deploy your site definitions there. So it doesn't work. You can't do a database migration. You actually have to do a content migration, which is a lot more work. Yeah.
How do web templates work with syndicated content types? So typically, we've got team sites. We've got a content type hub for our documentation. Have you had any experience with that?
It will work in the same way as the out-of-the-box site definitions. There's no difference.
Okay. But you wouldn't have the content types defined inside your web template.
No.
Nor would you. You may have an empty document library, for example, with the idea that once the syndication comes across, you would then attach it and have some either manual or PowerShell-related scripts to configure it.
Yep, correct. Yeah, completely correct. You wouldn't add them to your web template. You would wait until they are syndicated.
Well, no, you turn the syndicator on, syndication on anyway. But
go ahead.
I was talking to Jeremy Thake from AvePoint about the whole web template. What's your initial thought about capturing it as XML versus trying to capture it as code? He was recommending going with a code approach, almost reverse engineer your lists for upgradability.
You could. It depends on what you want to do and how you're creating the sites. If you want users to create sites from the user interface, you want a web template with at least some stuff in it, so that they can pick a template from the user interface. If you have some automated process that's creating the sites, then you don't really need a web template. Well, you still need one, but you could use an out-of-the-box site definition and use code to completely modify that to so that it is what you want it to be. But if you want users to select something, you know, that does what you want it to do, then you at least need the web template, and you can, for instance, add a feature that then completely customizes whatever's on it.
But the template itself then would actually exist as either XML or as a coded template to be created. I'm not sure if I'm...
You need a form of XML, because you can't register it without the XML. So you need the web template element with that metadata in it, and you need an onet.xml file, because otherwise you can't create a site. So you can leave that as blank as you want, and then use code to add everything that you want to add to it.
Right.
But you need some form of XML to be able to create the site.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
You mentioned that sandboxed web templates are deprecated. So I just want to double check here. We have developed a solution for 2010, SharePoint Online 2010, which is, of course, a sandbox solution then. And we have web templates using. So I assume when we upgrade to 2013, they will still work.
Yep.
But what's the best practice in 2013 when you're working with web templates, which are sandboxed? Is the whole sandbox concept going to be removed in 2016, or which is the next version, or what is the plan?
I don't know what will happen in 20s or whatever the next version is, but there is a good chance that it will be removed. So that's why I said that make sure if you're using sandbox solution to deploy your web templates, because in an online environment you don't have a choice. Yeah. So you have to use the sandbox solution to create your web template, but make sure that you create it in a way where you can remove the solution again. So in your development environment, create the web template, create a site based on it, remove the web template, and see whether your site still works. Make sure that that keeps working. And it shouldn't be that difficult. So it should still, in almost all cases, it should still work. And that will make sure that you're safe, so that at least all your existing stuff will keep working if you upgrade to the next version without your sandbox solutions.
Yeah, all right. But in 2013, it will work, so
yes,
it will be an issue.
Yeah, you will still create your new web templates based on in your sandbox solutions, because you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Hello? Okay. Do you have any specific examples whether when you retract the solution that it will not work anymore? The site will not work anymore?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest, but if you deploy custom web parts in the same solution, it might break if you remove that solution. So
well,
it would.
Yeah, I mean, like the web part, I don't think my web part actually got retracted when you retract the feature, because it's already pushed to the web part galleries, right?
Yeah.
But I guess when you have custom code attached to it, that's when it's breaking.
Yeah, okay. So deploy your web template then in a separate sandbox solution, preferably, so that you could, at least your site keeps working.
Okay, so my actual question is like, well, what about upgrading the web templates? How does that work? I know that you said in your presentation that you can upgrade the web templates, but say if I want to add another feature to the web template, and I'm talking about Visual Studio created web templates, so I'm adding another feature. When I upgrade the solution, will that upgrade all the existing sites?
No. It will only be used for new sites that you create based on it. So if you want existing sites to be modified, you have to write code that will go through all those sites and add that feature with that new functionality to those sites, which is why you want a way to identify the web template and the version of the web template, so you know what to do if you want that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi. Thanks for your talk. Do you have any recommendations around best approaches for dealing with moving development into staging, into production? Because I've encountered an issue where I got tried to get, you know, some, you know, production environments, sometimes you don't have any control over them, right? Clients or such. So we've tried to, I ran into a situation where we tried to use basically an out-of-the-box development environment and created a web template and such. And actually it was prototyped by some users collecting the requirements and such. So they prototyped it, created lists. We took that, brought it into Visual Studio, did, you know, some extra things. And then noticed that when we deployed it to our staging environment, maybe we had some features that that needed to be turned on and such. But when we sent it over to the client, right, their environment was very different. And so it wouldn't deploy. So then it was very interesting to try to figure out, okay, you have all these sets of features, we have all these sets of features, most of them we have. And, you know, so we had to reconcile that. Yeah. So do you have any thoughts on that?
There's really only one way. You need the build guide and the state. You need to know the build guide and the state of your production environment. So you need to know, you know, how was it installed, what features were activated, or, you know, more importantly, maybe deactivated. You need to know approximately what customizations are on it, especially if there's anything that might clash with what you're building. So you need to be able to build, you know, preferably your development environment, but then at least your test or staging environment in the same way as your production environment. So you can test it somewhere, and you can test it somewhere where you have access to the ULS logs. And even better if it's on your development environment and you can debug it. But then at least you have a way to figure out what's wrong. We run into the same problem quite often. Our customer uses Office 365 dedicated, for which we don't have the exact configuration. We have an approximate build guide. Yeah. So we try to make our test environment look the same as the production environment. But in some cases, we also run into problems where stuff works differently on production. And then you only run into that when you deploy to the, you know, the hosted acceptance environment, which is all the way at the end of your process. And
right.
You have to go all the way back and make changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you happen to know, is there a tool that you can use to sort of, you know, because SharePoint is very dynamic. I mean, so the week that they tell us, okay, we have all the requirements set, right? The following week, they could install web parts, they could install the third-party, you know, solutions and activate them.
But
so
if that's built properly, then installing new stuff shouldn't be a problem. But it's how the initial environment was set up that's important. If they start deactivating web application scoped features, then you might be in trouble. So there, I don't know. I don't know of a solution that will help you to actually document all of that and keep it documented, apart from the one where you actually put in all the manual labor and keep track of it. But they also need that information. If their environment crashes, how are they going to rebuild it?
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, and we go through the process of documenting those things. It depends on the situation. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I know you can't force customers to do it yet.
Right, exactly.
They still have to work with you.
Thank you.
Just wondering if you know of any third-party tools that could be used to configure a site as an alternative to site templates so that they can be future-proof to moving to 2013?
I don't know
writing all the custom code.
Any out-of-the-box tools, but you could just write your own code.
Okay.
But using web templates should make you future-proof as well, because there's no print from the web template in your site.
But there's a lot of things they can't do in the web templates. You'd still end up doing custom code and features, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.